Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3.
Well, who wants some more texts? Because that's what we're getting. We're actually going to 5 sets, guys. We're going to 5 sets. I'm just upset I don't have the over of this. I've got Alcaraz at 5-1. And you figure that if he's able to win this, he'll be able to get through. Although you never know. This tournament has just been freaking lit and insane. Let's get you the new number right now. Let's get you the, what's the new updated number? Well, Alcaraz is now minus 200. It's exactly what we're just talking about, man. That's insane. You could have, like Babano said, you could have gotten Alcaraz at 10-1. At one point, he was down to match point. You could have gotten him at 10-1. And now you could just, like, step up and get Sinner at plus 162 right now. Minus 200. We're leaving money on the table, like with this in-game tennis stuff, like just hammering every, like, just, you got to do it constantly. It adds up though, right? You know, if you just did, all right, $100, like with $1,000 or $2,000, and at the end of the night, you literally have 10, 15, 20 plays at plus money, you know what I mean? You're going to win, right? Like, it's impossible not to win. Right? Like if you've got, you know what I'm saying? If you've got 8 plays on one guy at plus 120 and plus 140 and plus 300 and this and that, like Dave Sharapan was doing it tonight in the game. Cause we were like, wow, look at the wild line swings. And he was like, just taking everything. He's like plus 800, minus 300, minus 100, minus pick'em, minus this. And he was just racking it up. You rack up the stocks. And at the end, it's like, yeah, all right, we lost some of those plus ones, but we made, you know, we hit all these other ones. You could do it in baseball, like when a team, you know, like an underdog will be down. If an underdog is down in a game, or the underdog gets up in a game, I should note, the underdog gets up, and then the favorite becomes like the underdog. You know what I'm saying? It flip-flops. You can get in any sport. You can really get plus money on both sides. Hockey's a little trickier. Basketball's a little trickier. But even with football right now, NFL football, games go back and forth. There is quite a lot of line movement in an NFL game. And now in-game betting is as big as it's ever been. All right, so now Sinner's buying some time. And that's the only one thing I'll say. Listen, I'll cut these guys some slack. They've been playing for 4 hours. You got people twerking and stuff like that. Looks like they're still selling beer. Like they just showed a bunch of fans. They still got beer. That's the whole thing. Like, what time do they cut off the alcohol and the concessions at and stuff? Because, yeah, if you're sitting there at 2 in the morning, you better, like, be able to be getting, like, really lit up and have a story to tell forever. The stadium is kind of empty. It's not empty, but, like, it's not nearly as full as it was to start. It is 2:05. This thing's going to be going on till like 3 in the morning at least. This is, you know what? I like it. It's pretty cool. We're on the West Coast, and we like it from a degenerate better standpoint, but this is a problem. Like, come on. You can't be playing tennis at 3 in the morning in New York City. Like, come on, man. What are you doing? It's level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. And speaking of 3, we could be playing tennis at like 3 in the morning in New York City right now. The U.S. Open is going on. This is like some epic stuff between Sinner and Alcaraz. Alcaraz won the first set 6-3. He lost the second set 7-6. He lost the third set 7-6. He won the fourth set 7-5. These guys have been playing for exactly 4 hours and 30 minutes right now. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, San Diego, Los Angeles, and Houston. I was talking about this earlier. Bills fans spread out all across California. There's an Orange County Bills Backers Club. There's a Los Angeles Bills Backers Club. And there's a San Diego Bills Backers Club. And big party tonight. They had like $25,000 of Labatt Blue shipped in from Buffalo, which is pretty extreme. I probably just would have said, you know what, we'll be able to find beer in Los Angeles, and let's not spend $25,000 shipping beer across the country. But hey, I wonder, like, they ship in a bunch of tables too. You know, like truck full of tables. I imagine, like, locally tomorrow, like local, like the closest Walmart to SoFi. Actually, there's always an IKEA by every airport, right? Bills fans are going to be going to IKEA in the morning. Give me a table. Give me an easy table that I'm able to break through. So, yeah, countdown to kickoff is on. It's getting real right now. But we're going to talk a little college football in a couple of minutes. We have Ben Kirchhoff going to be joining us from CBSSports.com. Ben covers college football. He's also covered the Alliance League. We've talked football with Ben for years. So we'll talk a little college football. We can't ignore it, right? We've been all hyped up for the National Football League. But I want to go over – we'll go over some college football lines and numbers and some thoughts with Ben Kirchhoff from CBSSports.com. Alcaraz is now up 40-15. He's serving first, which sort of gives him an advantage here. It gives him that head start to get the confidence going and win the first match. And Alcaraz is now getting better. He just, that beautiful slice drop shot. The ball just died. Like, just, the ball just died. What's fascinating to me is, like, all right, you know, we know how good this guy is. It's like, bro, these guys have been playing for 4.5 hours. It's the middle of the night. And to still be playing with the precision that they're playing with is spectacular.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morency.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Countdown to kickoff continues. But hey, we've talked a lot of tennis this week, and rightfully so. The U.S. Open has just been awesome. And listen, I don't have a problem with this overnight stuff. I like it. You know, we always talk about, like, how we like the Olympics when it's overseas and in weird places and, like, you get to bet in the late night hours and stuff. But thing is, this isn't overseas. This is in New York City. And even though, you know, New York City is a city that never sleeps, this is a classic epic match that you'd want more people seeing. I'd like to see, like, the television numbers, like, throughout the evening, actually, to see, like, if they've dropped or not. Like, TV could be running strong. The stadium is, like, less than half empty now, and it was full before. Like, you know, we're going on 4 hours and 37 minutes right now. They're going to pass 5 hours. And now Sinner's got Sinner's, like, coming back a little bit here. Alcaraz is up 1-0 in the fifth set. I don't even have any money on this, but I do have Alcaraz to win the tournament at 5-1, which, considering how hard this is, I think I should have got more than better odds. Like, man, this tournament is hard to win. Like, I tell you, you win a U.S. Open, man, like, that's pretty badass. Like you got to win a lot of matches. You're playing all the time. Everyone's good. There's pressure. You're playing at, like, 2 in the morning and stuff. That's my whole point. Like, it's more for the players. It's cool, like, you know, if we're watching someone that's like, hey, look, it's the Olympics from Korea or something, and it's on at 4 in the morning. But like they don't get a reprieve. You know what I'm saying? Like these players will play at the scheduled time. They're not going to say, well, we're going to move it back for you guys. Here's Coco Gauff just tweeted, this match is insane. I leave at 6 a.m. for the airport, but I refuse to sleep and miss this. Wow. That's how good this is. Like players are not going to sleep. Like, that's amazing. She got a flight at 6 a.m. She's going to stay up all night. She got nothing to do with this. You know what I mean? Like, if I was a pro player, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I'll find out who won in the morning. Good for them. I got, you know, whatever. I'm out of here. I got a plane to catch. Like, that's how good this is. This really is epic type stuff. And, you know, looking back after, if either one of these guys can go on and win the tournament, this will be remembered after as like, wow. You know, that was like special, right? Like that match.
The question is, Gabe, how much energy will this game actually take out of either player that comes out
That's
of this alive,
problem.
Man? Tiafoe won in three sets today, and that was a big deal.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, Matias, a second ago. Like, it's not like they're going to move back to start time for them because these guys are tired. You know what I mean? It's like, no, that's you played until 3 in the morning, tough. Like, that's the way that it is. Alcaraz, though, it's one thing. This is the fourth time he's gone to five sets at the U.S. Open. And I saw they just showed a graphic a little while ago here that he played a 4.5-hour match, 4 hours and 34 minutes, I think, at the French Open. So he does seem to be pretty well conditioned. One thing I'll notice, though, and I guess this is the fatigue part, where you'll notice, Matias, he's still on top of his game, but you'll notice there's just these blatant unforced errors, bro, where he just smokes the ball out of bounds. Like the ball blows up on him. They're almost like an air ball or something. You know what I mean? Like that last one just got away from him, man. Like it was not even close, bro. Like he was like 3-4 feet out of bounds. It's like he popped it in the air.
Special though, Gabe. You know, he's always staying aggressive. You know, some players like to take, like Diego Schwartzman, for example. You could see him have a killer instinct when he's down, but if he starts to win the game, he kind of takes it easy for a little bit and stops trying to actually win these shots. Alcaraz is trying to beat you with every single shot.
No, it's a good point. Like even right after, it's a good point by Matias. Alcaraz, like I said, just had an unforced error. You know, like really bad type thing where like he just returned it on the backhand and he popped it in the air type thing. And next point, dude's like crushing him at the end of the baseline and stuff, like just crushing the ball in the corners. He doesn't lose his confidence. And Sinner, it's funny, Sinner just tried to pull the Alcaraz drop shot, spin shot on him. And it went out of bounds. It was close, but it was OB. Now Alcaraz has got it going on at 30-15 here. Now he went for the little chop shot. Oh. Whoa. Sinner right now. Sinner's got to stop playing around into his hands here, bro. Like Sinner's trying to get cute like Alcaraz and match these shots, and you can't do it. Like Sinner was better off with the power game before. The power game was working for him, Matias. Like, you notice, he just tried to drop shot before it went OB. Same thing here. He sort of got cute with a little chop shot type shot, and Alcaraz just crushed it, buried it after. That's not an advantage for him when they get into that ping pong style. Again.
I think he's trying to find himself like he did in that previous set where he had the momentum, where the drop shots were actually landing in play. He had a lot of swag when he was winning, and right now you could tell that swag's gone, and Alcaraz has completely taken over, you know, the momentum, and Alcaraz looks like he's completely comfortable out there, like we just saw with the drop shot. He didn't have that confidence in that last set when Sinner was literally power driving that ball at every single corner. You know, Sinner needs to get back on track and get that aggression back if he's going to win this match, because he's not going to. It almost looks like he's trying to survive now.
Ryan C. in our chat says the crowd has sucked at the U.S. Open. The crowd has sucked. They've set records. They've got like 29,000 people a night. I'm not going to hold it against them that people aren't there at 2 in the morning in New York City. It's easy for you to say, sitting in your chat, in a chat watching a show at home. Number one, New York isn't an easy place to get around at any time of the day, right? Number two, like, you know what I mean? New York's not the safest city to be cruising on the subway back home to your hotel at 4 in the morning here. Like, imagine you're a tourist. You're already nervous as it is a little bit. Let's just be real. A lot of people are. I've had people. I live there, and people would visit me, and they'd be like, bro, listen, I'll be honest with you. This city freaks me out a bit. Like, right? And, like, You know, like, trust me, I used to go to Brooklyn Net games, man. It would be like, all right, we got to go, all right? It's getting late. Like, you know, we go to a bar after, and I'd realize, it's like, I don't know where I am, bro. I'm in the middle of Brooklyn at 2, 3 in the morning here. It's like, I better go. And I'm crazier than these people are. So, yeah, I'm not going to hold it against them. It's late. Like I said, it's too late for the East Coast. And it screws up the players' schedule and everything. I guess they could sleep all day tomorrow for the most part. And then they play again Friday. But yeah, TFO, he did win a lot quicker than this. So Alcaraz is now up 2-1 right now. Big time drama here. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, the other thing is too, the crowd, you get like when you go, you people get the pass and stuff like that, right? So people have been there all day. It's sort of like a rock festival. And there's been tennis all day. There was like Sabalenka played in the morning and stuff. Like there's been big time matches going on all day long here on this complex. So most of the people will say, okay, we'll go early and we'll stay for this and we'll go for that and stuff. So no one's really just going to say, all right, we're only going to go to the 8:30 last match and pay the money to get in when you can get in for all of them earlier. Right? You know what I mean? Most of these people that are going to this are hardcore and get the pass and stuff. Like they're not just going to one day. Right, like, you know what I mean? If you're a tourist, you're going to New York City for this. And trust me, there's a lot of tourists that go to New York all over the world for the U.S. Open. They're not just going to go once, right? They get the pass, and they go back, and they're there all day. And they're like, okay, we'll come back tomorrow at noon, and we'll come back at nighttime the next night, and whatever. Like, so that's one cool thing about tennis, actually, if you've never been to a tournament. It is cool if you get, like, the tournament pass and stuff, and you can just cruise from court to court. I used to like it, like, because I'd go to the courts where there wasn't as many people and stuff, and I'd bet on it. I'd be like, not as much. The lower-ranked players. It was always a good time. Tennis is really...
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Cool live, actually. I'm kicking myself I never went to the U.S. Open. Like, it's funny, too, because I was going to. Like, I basically, like, a couple of days before, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. And I don't know. I think I went to a football game instead. I think the Bills were playing. I was like, I can't go to football and tennis. Like, I got shows to do. Ben Kirchhoff's going to join us next. We talk some college football. We'll get back to the tennis and NFL after. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the bullpen, Derek.
Hello.
Hi. Derek, this indoor soccer is a new sport. Could you tell us something about it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It's soccer played indoors, like in a hockey rink. Sort of soccer hockey.
Boy, that's an interesting combination. Well, what are the rules?
I don't know, really. I don't care.
I see. How does your team look?
Mostly Venezuelan.
Right.
It's all set. They got the bug boy on.
The bug boy?
Yeah. The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a little slow out there. It rained last night.
Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up. Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The drama from Flushing Meadows continues as we throw it down. SiriusXM Channel 159, I'm out here, 10 to 90, ESPN Radio. Countdown to kickoff is on the Los Angeles Rams and the Buffalo Bills. We went over some of the props earlier with Babano. FanDuel's got an interesting odds boost up right now. Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, and Allen Robinson each to have 50-plus receiving yards. Was plus 105, now plus 170. We're always honest with these boosts. Like, if I think it's a valuable boost, I'll take it. But Cooper Kupp's going to go over 50 yards. Okay, yes. Stephon Diggs going to go over 50 yards. Is Allen Robinson going to go over 50 yards? And quite frankly, is plus 170 enough to get your money to want to do this? That all three of them are going to go over 50 yards. You know, you don't want to say Kupp is a lock to go over. Well, look, his number is 90 yards. So the prop is 90. Diggs is like 68.5, so you're getting a little bit of value there. Thing, like I said with Diggs, and I'm a big Diggs fan, and in fact, I'm going to be wearing a Stephon Diggs jersey at the game. But the thing with Diggs is he might get a touchdown in like four catches only, right, for 44 yards or something, but he gets a touchdown, or he could light it up. You know, the Buffalo offense is pretty diverse, and it's going to be even more diverse this year. They want it to be more diverse. They want to run the ball more. They just want to spread it around more. All right, so speaking of spreading the ball around here, this U.S. Open stuff's intoxicating. It really is. It's just, it's unbelievable. Like, dude, the way they're going right now, how is it not going to go to a tiebreaker? Like, it almost has that feel right now that this thing is going to go, they're going to be tied at six in the fifth set, and so they're going to go to a tiebreaker. Like, that's just, it just has that feel. Epic, epic stuff. Like, these guys, like, what are they moving in on? They're moving in on 5 hours now? All right, where's the Rolex? Where's the update? Yeah, 4:53. They've been playing tennis for four hours.
Gabe, I got a feeling whoever wins minutes. This game right now at 3-2, I think if Alcaraz goes down 4-2 with the balls back, I think he loses this game. I think if Alcaraz ties this back up and breaks Sinner, I think Alcaraz wins the match. I think this is a big moment in this game right now since Sinner just broke Alcaraz unexpectedly. You know, now he has the ball and the power.
Yeah, it seems to be slipping away a little bit, but we've seen this before. I mean, he was at match point before, and he was 10-1. And that's what we're saying. Look at the odds, and let's check in with the odds now. Yes, now Sinner's got him running around here. Okay, so now Sinner's minus 275, and Alcaraz is plus 220. So you get my point where you can get everybody a plus money with this stuff? Like, I've never, there's, dude, like, baseball will move 5 cents per pitch. Like, literally. Like, baseball will move 5 cents per pitch. So, like, if you're watching a baseball game and the number is plus 145 and the team throws a ball or whatever, it'll be plus 140 or something. You know what I mean? If it's a strike, it'll go to 150. You know what I mean? It'll move 5 cents per, like, which way it is. Tennis is just extreme. Like, I'm actually amazed, like, that the odds are so volatile and that the computer is so all over the place because they're setting themselves up to get beat on both sides. As I've stated, like, my point has come true like 10 times in the last 20 minutes with this. Like, just in the time that we have talked, like, the different numbers. Like, you can get Alcaraz now at plus 240. Right? They came into the fifth set and Alcaraz was minus 200 favored. You could get Sinner at plus 163. Now Sinner's minus 300, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can just rack them up. Like, every time, okay, plus money. So now you just come back with, like, now you would come back with Alcaraz at plus 240. Even though he's down, you say, all right, we're getting him at plus 240. We'll come back with him here because if he breaks, you know, it'll swing back because you already have Sinner at plus money with a nice plus price. We're at break point here, though. It's 40-30, or I should say match point. 40-30 for Sinner. And it's almost got like the soccer game feel in the stadium a little bit. Because you got like a Spaniard and an Italian. And for the most part, it seems like that's actually who's in the stands. Wow. Man, this girl looks tired. She's been there all day.
If Alcaraz breaks Sinner right now, Gabe, that would just be incredible. And you're right. If he breaks him now, you're right. This looks like it's going to go to a tiebreaker at seven. Just nuts.
Like, this really is unbelievable. That's why I've given up thinking, all right, what's going to happen? I don't know.
Just enjoy it.
They're back to advantage here. Yeah, exactly. Just, it, you know, we're along for the ride. It is what it is. I got my bang for my buck. You know, I bet on Alcaraz to win the tournament at plus 500. I got my bang for the buck. He went pretty far here. He's not out yet either. And if he gets through this, you can almost think he's going to be able to survive anything. But now even the fans are, like, all freaked out. You see the Italians and the Spaniards. Said, now Alcaraz suddenly's got to jump, and he's hitting the ball pretty hard here. Wow. Wow, we're back to deuce. Sinner just had the advantage to go up 4-2. Now we're back to deuce. Unbelievable tennis. Now Sinner's down to 188, and Alcaraz is suddenly plus 150. That's what I'm saying, guys. I just told you I would just take Sinner. I would just take Alcaraz now at plus 240, 250. And now, like, watch what happens if he wins this and they're 3-3. All right. See, now Alcaraz has the advantage, and suddenly Sinner's only minus 125. So if Alcaraz wins this game, suddenly Alcaraz is going to be the favorite again, and you could have got Sinner at plus money again. Like, it's just, bro, they're giving money away here. It's like a free money giveaway. Like, dude, like, the way this is just going back and forth. But the thing is, you got to have confidence that you just got to do it blindly. You got to say, all right, I'm just coming in here. As I stated, look, he was just plus 240. I told you, you take him at plus 240 if he wins. Now, here we are right now. He's plus 100. He's got the advantage. So if he wins this point, he wins the match, it's 3-3. He's going to swing, and he just did. And he just swung back to what he opened up at minus 163. If, like, this is a lesson in economics and line movement here. So now you can get Sinner at plus 130 again. You could have just got Alcaraz at plus 240 a minute ago. Now you can get Sinner at plus 130. You get my point? Like, I'd be doing this right now, but I have to text somebody and, like, tell them over and over and over I got a problem, so I'm leaving money on the table. But it's actually going to really upset me. I don't think I'll be able to sleep after this.
Now you know how I feel, Gabe.
I would have had, like, plus money on all these guys. Like, I'd have, like, 20 plays right now, Matthias. Like, you know, like, oh, yeah. I just told you guys, minus 240, you take them, boom, and now you take the, now Sinner's plus 162. You can't lose, guys. If you have 10 or 15 or 20 bets, and every one of them is plus 160 or plus 250, whatever, you win half of them, you just made a lot of money. And you didn't even stress out anything. You don't even have, it doesn't even bother you who won or lost. Like, you seriously just are playing, like, plus money plays. And it's like, yeah, whatever. If he wins, I win this much. If he wins, I win this much. Like, wow. Course of all nights.
This is perfect for our future tennis portfolio, Gabe. We're going to start breaking down every single tournament now. Let's go.
Yeah, but they're not all as dramatic and good as this. It's too bad we won't have a Grand Slam again for a little while, but that's the only thing. Hey, how long do we have to wait now?
For a major, a little bit, but you know what? There is some really good tournaments outside of the majors, like Indian Hills, and, you know,
Then there's line movement with all of them. Like, you're right,
exactly.
But, and this is a lesson too of all sports. It isn't just tennis, but tennis is a classic example. MMA as well, actually. MMA, you'll see, like, MMA actually in game is one thing they really haven't figured out yet. They because there's no computer for, there's no algorithm or anything like that for them to rely on. So they kind of need, like, the naked eye and a guy watching the fight. And they'll also get influenced by what Rogan will say and what Cormier. So they're influenced by the broadcast team. So if the broadcast team is saying, oh, you know what, he's beating him and he's got to do this and that. But the thing is, Rogan's takes, like, with MMA and who's winning a fight are often, like, his takes in the real world. They're whacked. So, like, he, you know, Rogan will see one thing if he likes a fighter better, if it's his buddy, like, he sort of zeroes in on him. I'm not saying he doesn't know MMA, but I'm just saying Rogan can affect, like, in-game betting. I've noticed, like, the odds makers, like, they're all over the place. Like, sometimes you'll be watching a fight and you look at the in-game, you'll go, what the hell are these guys seeing? And then after, you're like, I should listen to myself.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. the unintended consequences of these programs. They had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Wow, Alcaraz is now minus 250 again. This is just unbelievable stuff in the late night hours. Ben Kercheval joins us. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Countdown to NFL kickoff continues, but the college football campaign has already begun, and there's been some movement as far as the polls are concerned. Let's break it down and take a look at the big games that are coming up this weekend with Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com. Ben, it's always a pleasure, my man. Great to have college football back. Great to have you back. How you doing tonight?
Doing great. Happy football's back. Glad they've decided on a number for the playoffs. Let's get it out of the way. Never talk about it again. Talk about some on-field stuff.
Let's do it. So speaking of some on-field stuff, there was so much talk and hype about the Utah Utes all summer and anticipation about that football game, but it's the Florida Gators that end up getting the pop. Post game, you see their rapid climb in the polls, and it really sets up for a massive football game this week against the Kentucky Wildcats, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A situation that, when you look back at it retrospectively, Utah, Florida, Utah's preseason top 10 team, playoff dark horse, Florida unranked. In truth, they're pretty close. I mean, the score was reflected in that. Came down to really the last play. Two teams that I think are pretty even, at least athletically speaking. Probably closer to maybe top 15 for both of them when we look back on it, maybe at the end of the season. But the difference is what we thought was going to be Cam Rising. Difference ended up being Anthony Richardson. And you look back at the Gators last season, 6-7, riding with Emory Jones with Dan Mullen all the way to his pink slip. And you're thinking to yourself, what was Anthony Richardson never completing a pass in practice, that he was not the starting quarterback for the entire season? Really looked great. Obviously a difference maker. You go up against a Kentucky team that also has a good defense, not necessarily the flashiest team, but really good along the line of scrimmage, very good along the defensive front. I think it's going to be another challenge in the way that Utah was a challenge. I would expect another close game, but this is important for Florida because you're getting, I think at least as far as the SEC East is concerned, you're getting a team that is probably most likely your equal right now. I mean, clearly Georgia is a step above. If you can get that leg up on Kentucky early in the year, not only does that continue to build the momentum that everyone now suddenly has for you early in the season, also gives you a leg up in the standings as you try to maybe potentially get that SEC East crown.
And Kentucky's a football program that thinks, listen, they're getting into it with their own basketball program. About no, this is a foot. This is not a basketball school anymore, right? So Stoops is trying to draw the line in the sand and put his foot down with Will Levis and company. And I'll tell you what, you know it, Ben. Last week, the Red Hawks were a pretty trendy play. I mean, the number really came down, and then Kentucky go out there and handle their business. Historically, Florida have owned the Kentucky Wildcats. But let me ask you, in your opinion, right now, and you know, listen, we're midweek. So I get it. You haven't made your final picks yet, probably. But is it too many points now to see Florida laying 5.5 in this spot?
No, I don't think. I mean, that's one possession. You know, if this comes
again. Yeah, it's one score. You're right. That's one touchdown,
That's one touchdown. I mean, this could come down again to a final play where if Anthony Richardson, you know, hits a go-ahead score with 1 minute left, it's possible Florida's covering at the end of this. So, no, don't think it's too many points, especially for, again, a divisional foe that knows you well, is probably, again, in as far as the rankings of that division go, pretty equal to you. Everyone's talking about Will Levis, but the bread and butter of this Kentucky Wildcats team is running the football. That tends to keep things a little closer, keeps the possessions a little bit more to a minimum. No, don't think it's too many points at all. That being said, it's in the swamp. It wouldn't surprise me if Florida wins and covers that game, even if it's pretty close, all things considered.
Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com kicking it with us. We're talking college football. I am Gabriel Morency. Alabama Crimson Tide laying 20.5 against Texas. Can Texas play with these guys, in your opinion?
Steve Sarkisian didn't exactly make it seem like they could. if you listen to his early week press conference, he's going, you know, this game doesn't really define our season. We're defined. And I'm sitting there going, okay, that's a guy who probably is trying to, you know.
He's letting everyone know, listen, we could get killed here, right?
Yeah. Breaks here. We got a ways to go. And look, there are, I think, the reasons why Texas could get laid out in this one are pretty simple. Quinn Ewers, we'll see how he does. That's obviously going to be the big storyline. But Texas has some questions coming into the season up front. You're not going to get them answered against Louisiana Monroe. But a lot of potential youth seeing time over the course of the season along that line, either starting or maybe as a heavy rotation. Alabama's great defensive front, obviously got Will Anderson coming off of the edge, and there's just so much excess talent on offense. Does Texas have the firepower to keep up with them? You know, Xavier Worthy is a really promising young player that they have at wide receiver. Obviously, everyone talks about Bijan Robinson at running back, but, you know, toe for toe, do they have everything they need to keep up with Alabama? Probably not, but again, that there's that 20.5, you get that little hook there at the end. I think that ends up really being the more interesting play than the final score is, can Texas keep it within 3 full touchdowns? We'll see. I'll be at that game, but clearly Alabama on another level. But if Texas comes out, plays it kind of tight, I think suddenly you have to revisit those expectations of, you know, not necessarily is Texas a playoff caliber team, but are they a team that could maybe make it to Arlington at the end of the year?
Going to be a great atmosphere no matter what happens at that football game that Ben is going to. Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh survived, man. That was a real thriller in a backyard brawl, first backyard brawl in 11 years. They survived the thriller. And then Tennessee handled their business easily against Ball State last week. This is an interesting football game, isn't it? The Vols at the Pittsburgh Panthers. Got to love this interconference matchup and just a unique situation. And I guess we can go old school, although I, you know, younger people are not going to realize. But, yeah, the Johnny Major special is what we got here, Tennessee and Pittsburgh.
A lot of points in this one, I think. Pat Narduzzi, for reasons that I don't know that I understand or maybe that anybody else understands, is very dedicated to running the ball. Wants to do it this year, said in the offseason, you know, we threw too much last year. Oh, yeah, would it be because of your Heisman Trophy finalist quarterback and your Biletnikoff?
Yeah, you also won a bunch of games last year, too, Coach. You're right.
Yeah. Is that why you wanted to run the ball more this year? I think you saw flashes of that against West Virginia, but they got a guy, Hammond, who looks like he's a total animal. But I still think when you look back at that game, Pitt seemed at their best when Keaton Slovis had time and was slinging it around. That seemed to be where all of their biggest plays really came from. They have a lot of talent at wide receiver and tight end, even though they don't have Jordan Addison anymore. You put that against Tennessee's defense, which they only allowed 10 points against Ball State, but it's Ball State. It's still pretty unproven. This was a disaster of a unit a year ago. And we know Tennessee can score points too, and Pitt's defense, great up front along the line, but there's a little bit of a propensity to give up the big play. You'll get some big negative losses, but you'll also give up some big plays. Tennessee thrives on that with Hendon Hooker, his ability to run and pass. I think you're seeing a lot of points, but ultimately give me the team that can at least give you something defensively. I think Pitt wins in another shootout.
Ben, I don't like overreacting after one game, but what the hell's going on with Louisville, bro? I mean, you know, like how many, you know, they got a million returning starters every year. It's Cunningham's like 13th year of college football. Their win total was 5.5, and I bought in. I said, you know what? I think this, and I wasn't the only one, right? I know a lot of other smart people, I'm not saying I'm smart, but other smarter people than me thought this Louisville team was, you know, a 6-7 win team. I heard Greg McElroy talking about being a sleeper in the conference. And then you got Syracuse to just drill them, hold them to 7 points. Louisville that bad, or Syracuse turned a little bit of a corner? What was your impression on that result?
I'm going to take Louisville that bad because Syracuse had 18 penalties. 18 penalties. And won, was it 31-7?
You still won, but you still won 31-7. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, 32. So I'll be honest with you, didn't watch a lick of that game, but I was like going through the scores at the end of the night, doing some stuff, and my only reaction was, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
what on earth got Satterfield? So I'm gonna put my money on Louisville that bad.
Yeah, I guess they're not turning the corner. Well, you know, team, I know it's kind of obvious, but man, Georgia, I mean, that, how impressive was that, bro? I get it. I mean, you can say, oh, well, Oregon this, Oregon that. Yeah, well, still, Oregon have a lot of very good football players that were made to look like high school football players and mid-tier high school football players against this Bulldog program. That was some scary stuff, bro. Like, just the athletic ability of their talented players that they have. Like, just that they're just playmakers. I guess is the best way of putting it. They have playmakers on both sides of the football, the Bulldogs.
They do, and that's a credit to Kirby Smart's ability to recruit to the point where you're reloading at a clip that Alabama does every year or Ohio State does every year. But you can
looks like
lose.
They are right now. Looks like they are with this, yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that the ability to recruit to the point where you can lose 15 players to the NFL draft, including a handful of first-round guys, and you go out there, and again, it's preseason. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. We don't know if Oregon's really the number 11 team in the country. Clearly, they're not, or at least they're not to the point where they're able to compete with a playoff-caliber team. But, you know, Tom Fornelli over here at CBS Sports wrote in his Monday after, it's like, is Georgia potentially better this year than it was a year ago? It seems like a crazy idea first, but then you think about it, that this is a team last year that won, I don't want to say in spite of Stetson Bennett, because it was him who had those game-winning drives at the end of the national championship, and I think certainly he's earned the benefit of the doubt in terms of him being more than a game manager. But when you go back to that game on Saturday in Atlanta against Oregon, and he's out there and he's dealing, he's making plays with his legs, he's making plays with his arms, and he's distributing, and he looks like a more confident, just better suited player for this offense. And it's certainly not anything, it's not like he got more athletic over the offseason. He kind of is what he is at this point in his career. But if they're now playing with a quarterback that you go, this guy is more than just a walk-on, he's more than just a game manager, he's somebody who can go out there and be a playmaker, then I think you're talking about a little bit more of an elevation of that Georgia program. They along with, you know, Alabama and Ohio State, your usual suspects, Georgia looks like they can win it all again.
I thought Michigan looked good. I thought Clemson sort of looked like they kind of did last year, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, when you saw them, it was sort of like, yeah, kind of looks like you guys have the same problem. You're not explosive. You got that great defense. All right, we've only got about a minute and a half left here with you, Ben. And great stuff as always, man. Not the most high-profile teams, but great starts for these guys. Oregon State Beavers, yeah, incredibly impressive win. And I think, you know, so we were talking about Louisville dropping. I think Boise State's in for a drop for real. I think this program is peaked, and they're going to have a hard time in a new modern football era to keep up right now. And how about the Arizona Wildcats, man? Wow. Going into SDSU, new stadium, and you know, rolling like that. And they got Mississippi State this week, and the Beavers get Fresno. Fun games this week for these teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Arizona, to your point, raided the transfer portal this year, this past offseason. I think that's where the impact players that you saw in that game against San Diego State, big transfer portal additions there. Another week two game to keep an eye on. I don't know that it'll be the biggest game of the day, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Wake Forest, they get Sam Hartman back from his blood clot, going up against Vanderbilt. Probably a Wake Forest win, but if anybody watched that week zero game between Vanderbilt and Hawaii, Mike Wright has serious SEC speed at quarterback. I think that one's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll be betting the over. Ben Kercheval, great stuff. Excellent insight, Ben. We encourage people to read Ben's work and everybody. They do a great job. The crew over at CBSSports.com covering college football. Always a pleasure, my man.
All right, thanks, man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Electric stuff at Arthur Ashe Stadium right now. Alcaraz fans going crazy. He's giving his shoes away. Nice shoes. The Vapor Air, actually. I noticed those earlier. He's like fired up. The Spaniard stayed all night. Great atmosphere here in the late night hours. Absolutely spectacular tennis. And in fact, they just set a record. Nobody's ever gone to 2:50 a.m. before in New York. So it was the latest. I don't think it was the longest match ever. They didn't just say it was the longest. I got the sound down, but they just popped it up. The graphic of the latest. They never gone to 2:50 a.m. Before. Unbelievable stuff, Matthias. Alcaraz survives. We'll see what he has left in the tank after playing for 5-plus hours. But if anybody can get through this, I think this dude can. Unbelievable stuff. His back was against the wall. And at one point, let's not forget, guys and ladies, that he was 10-1 at match point. He was up against it, down 5-4. It was a 10-1, hell of a performance from Sinner as well. This is a classic match. Like, even McEnroe, who's been around forever, just said that this is special stuff. He goes, I don't even know how to describe what we just saw. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable.
Gabe, look who's left. Kachanov, Ruud, Alcaraz, Tiafoe. And you know what? It looks like you made the right pick. Alcaraz should be the favorite, and man, is it time for him to win his first U.S. Open at his age? It looks like the field is set for him. If he is to lose, it would be an upset. I think the world expects him to win.
I think, yeah, at this point. And TFO's playing some really, really good tennis. An American, you know, we talked about an American hasn't won since 2003 in Andy Roddick and the men's side of things. And so he's the TFO's the first... he is the first American to be in the semis since Roddick in like 2006. Casper Ruud versus Kachanov and Carlos Alcaraz survives. Special stuff. Been an epic tournament. All right, follow me on Twitter. I'll post all kinds of picks and videos and all that from the game. Other night, you're on your own. Later.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.